I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News, with the president's weekly conversation.
As the proud son of Catherine Eugenia Finnegan Biden, it's so good to be back in Ireland. I only wish I could stay longer. But I always have a little bit of Ireland close by, even when I'm in Washington. In the Oval Office, I have the rugby ball signed by the Irish rugby team, the ball the team played when they beat the All Blacks in Dublin in 2021. My cousin, one of Ireland's greatest rugby stars, Rob Kearney, brought it to D.C. on St. Patrick's Day in 2022 to give me. And I didn't play rugby except when I was out of school, out of law school. And I didn't play it very well. We played in a rugby club. But I realized that, you know, you guys are all nuts. You know, but the interesting thing is, I'd rather have my children playing rugby now for health reasons than I would have them playing football. Fewer people get hurt playing rugby, and you have no equipment. You have 280-pound guys like we do, and you just don't hit each other in the head very often. And but anyway, all kidding aside, in 2016, I came to Ireland as vice president, bringing most of my family with me. My sister Valerie, my brother Jimmy, my daughter, and my five granddaughters and grandchildren. My granddaughters are crazy about me, I might add, because I talk to them every single day. I send them a note. Together, we explored our family history, visiting the Cooley Peninsula, where the Finnegan's ancestors earned their living on land and in sea, and walking the streets of Ballina, where my great-great-great-grandfather Blewett lived with his family before relocating in 1851, eventually settling in my hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania. Yesterday, I returned to County Louth, where I toured the Collingford Castle, likely one of the last glimpses of Ireland my Finnegan ancestors saw as they gazed on their way out in what in those days was referred to as a coffin ship. And they sailed out of Newry in 1850. I wasn't going to say this, but I'll say it anyway. The idea was, I later learned from the Irish Times, they did us a little background check, and my good friend Barack Obama, and he is my good friend, his grandfather was a shoemaker like mine, sailed 5 weeks earlier from the same port. The idea they both sailed for a new life and thought their grandchildren, their great-great-grandsons would both be present, I think is really a little bit of Irish malarkey. But tomorrow, I'll also revisit County Mayo and remember the history and hope and the heartbreak my Blewett ancestors must have felt leaving their beloved homeland to begin new lives in America. I sell this not to wax poetic about bygone days, but because of the story of my family's journey and those who left and those who stayed is emblematic of the stories of so many Irish and American families, not just Irish-American families. And these stories are the very heart of what binds Ireland and America together. They speak to a history defined by our dreams. They speak to a present written by our shared responsibility. And they speak to a future poised for unlimited shared possibilities. So today, I'd like to reflect on the enduring strength of the connections between Ireland and the United States, a partnership for the ages. It begins in our shared history, dating back to the very founding of the United States. The Irish hearts that helped kindle the torch of liberty in my country and fire its revolutionary spirit. The Irish blood from across this island that was willingly given for my country's independence. The Irish hands that laid the foundations of a new kind of future, one from the bottom up and the middle out, one built on freedom. You know, the great waves of immigration that brought our ancestors to the United States in succeeding decades carried millions more Irishmen across the sea. Most of them arrived a little more than with hope in their hearts and strength in their dreams and beautiful memories of an emerald green isle, a home they would never fully leave behind. I've never met an Irishman in America who doesn't think he will hope he can see Ireland someday. You know, their sweat is soaked with the foundations of communities across the nation, all across America. You can't go anywhere and not find it. By the way, Tip O'Neill, the former Speaker of the House, used to say that he'd have a reception for all the Irish in the Congress, the House and the Senate, and all those who wish they were Irish. And everybody showed up. Look, the journeys of our ancestors expanded our horizons and literally excited our imaginations. They became the untiring backbone of America's progress as a nation, even as they endured discrimination and they were denied opportunity. Like so many countries around the world, though perhaps more than most, the United States was shaped by Ireland, and that's not hyperbole. That's a fact. And the values we share remain to this day the core of our historic partnership between our people and our governments. As nations, we've known hardship and division, but we've also found solace and sympathy in one another. In just 4 years before we issued our Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin came to the Irish Parliament and declared and described it as, I quote, disposed to be friends of America, end of quote. And turn to the next Ireland, turn to the text of Ireland's 1916 proclamation, displayed mainly in the main foyer of this building, draws on the support of Ireland's exiled children in America, the quote, draws on the support of exiled children in America. We're nations that know what it means to persevere for freedom, to brave a civil war, to toil in the vineyards of democracy. And that's, again, not hyperbole. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's not just the hope, but the conviction that better days lie ahead that has brought us along. We have the power to build a better future. Our history reminds us, our history, ours, yours and mine, reminds us of the responsibilities we have to the present, to the hopes of our ancestors, to the expectation of future generations, because we know what it means to fight for democracy. Ireland pursues an independent course in foreign policy, but it is not neutral between liberty and tyranny, and it never will be. Thank you for that.
That was the president's weekly conversation. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.